Against a purple background, black balls bounce onto the screen, settling to form the silhouette of a mouse's head on a white square. Disney Videos. Green letters on a blue background. Distributed by Buena Vista Distribution Company, Incorporated. Night. In the gloom of a southern American swamp, the hulk of an old side-wheeled paddle steamer lies beached at the water's edge. Around the swamp, tree limbs trail skeins of Spanish moss. On the old riverboat, a door opens. Lamplight is cast across the deck from within. A small girl, her hair gathered in two short ponytails, backs slowly out of the door, clutching a stuffed teddy bear in her arms. Watched by two evil-looking crocodiles chained at the side of the deck, she tiptoes across to the railing and looks out into the night. Reaching out, she drops a corked bottle into the water below. As the bottle floats away towards the sea, white letters are superimposed over the scene. Walt Disney Productions presents The Rescuers, suggested by The Rescuers and Miss Bianca by Marjorie Sharp. Now the bottle drifts out on the sea waves, leaving the tree-lined coast receding in the distance behind it. With the voice talents of Bob Newhart as Bernard, Ava Gabor as Miss Bianca, and Geraldine Page as Madame Medusa. An ocean liner passes inches away from the bottle. Inside the bottle, a rolled note can be seen and one word scrawled in large capitals, Help. The ship's wake washes the bottle onwards in its journey. Under clouded skies, orange-tinged with sunset, the bottle drifts on. With Joe Flynn as Mr. Snoops, Jeanette Nolan as Ellie Mae, Pat Buttram as Luke, Jim Jordan as Orville, John McIntyre as Rufus, Michelle Stacy as Penny, Bernard Fox as the Chairman, Larry Clemens as Gramps, James McDonald as Evan Rude, George Lindsay as Rabbit, Bill McMillan as TV announcer, Doug Taylor as Digger, and John Fielder as Owl. Under storm clouds and in winds that whip the waves into white-capped mountains, the little bottle is driven along. Production manager Don Duckwall. Musical score composed and conducted by Artie Butler. Produced by Wolfgang Reitermann. In the throes of a great tempest, tossed from wave to wave, the little bottle moves ever onward, watched from above by hovering seagulls. The storm passes, and golden light beams down from breaks in the clouds. The seagulls settle on a drifting log in the now calm sea, as the little bottle bobs in the water beside it.
I'm lost at sea without a friend.
Executive producer Ron Miller, directed by Wolfgang Reitermann, John Lounsbury and Art Stevens.
This journey, will it ever end?
Bobbing past Harbour Buoys, the little bottle drifts towards the city of New York. Floating among the piles at dockside, the bottle eventually washes ashore. A tugboat slowly passes by, framed against the silhouette of the New York skyline in an orange sunrise. Climbing sleepily out of an old boot, a mouse in t-shirt and cap sees the bottle and moves towards it. A lady mouse in apron and scarf joins him, as does another mouse in a sailor's cap. They look at one another in puzzlement. Inside the bottle, the word help is plainly seen. In front of the tall United Nations building in New York City, limousines are parked along the flag-lined drive to deposit their distinguished passengers at the entrance, ambassadors and delegates from all corners of the globe. All wearing their national dress, they pass through revolving doors into the foyer of the building. Several pause to look up at a large board on a wall, upon which are listed the various meetings scheduled for the day. As they stand looking up, they rest their briefcases on the floor at their feet. The clasp of one of the briefcases opens, and a mouse with a large moustache and wearing a German hat and jacket jumps out and hurries away, carrying his own briefcase. Another briefcase opens and a tiny Indian mouse wearing a white Nehru cap and jacket pops out and hops to the ground, also carrying a briefcase. A Scottish mouse in kilt and tam o'shanter joins the stream of mouse delegates, who pass through a hole in the wall marked Mouse Entrance, down a twisted pipe to the cellar towards a trunk, which stands on end, partly opened. At the opening, a plump, friendly mouse in overalls and a flat cap is sweeping. The delegates greet him as they enter.
Good day, sir. Good day, Mr. Ambassador.
Dobre utro.
How do you do, madam?
Danke gut, Bernhard.
Inside the trunk.
Order. This emergency meeting of the International Rescue Aid Society is now in session. Delegates, you have been summoned from all corners of the globe because we have reason to believe that someone is in distress. As you know, our society has never failed to answer a call for help.
Jawohl, mein Herr.
Hear, hear.
We will face the portrait of the beloved founder of our society, Euripides Mouse. Delegates, hands over hearts.
They stand solemnly as a band of Boy Scout mice strikes up.
R-E-S-C-U-E, Rescue Aid Society. Hands held high, touch the sky. You mean everything to me. In a fix, in a bind, call on us anytime. We'll appear from nowhere, mighty are we. R-E-S-C-U-E, Rescue Aid Society. Honesty, loyalty, we pledge to thee. R-E-S.
Outside the door, Bernard stands respectfully at attention with his broom, his hand over his heart.
Heads held high, touch the sky, you mean everything to me.
A chic lady mouse in a fur hat and coat trips daintily down the pipe towards him. Spraying perfume over her shoulder, she smiles at Bernard and steps inside.
R-E-S-C-U-E, Rescue Aid Society. Heads held high, touch the sky. We pledge to thee.
Moving to her place, she smiles sweetly as a French mouse seats her.
Mouse scouts, bring in the bottle.
Two mice scouts haul on a cart upon which stands the corked bottle.
Mr.
Bernard, if you please.
Marching down the center aisle of the assembly, Bernard carries over his head a large comb with broken teeth.
Coming through. Pardon me.
Swinging the comb toward the bottle, he barely misses the chairman.
Excuse me, sir.
He swings round again, forcing everyone around him to duck their heads.
Delegates, this is no time for levity. Serious business, you know. Serious business.
Bernard places the old comb against the bottle as a ladder, and with a coil of rope over his shoulder, climbs upwards, then stops and looks down.
Now what?
Sir, there are 13 steps on this ladder.
Oh! Superstitious nonsense.
Bernard lassoes the cork at the top of the bottle. Hauling himself up the rope, he pulls at the cork to withdraw it. He pulls it out, nearly falling into the bottle in the process.
What next?
Doffing his hat in apology.
Sorry, sir.
He slips down inside. Bernard hoists the note above his head, pushing it upwards. Squeezing himself into the bottleneck, he finally pops the note out. It falls to the floor where the scout mice stretch it open. Bernard looks on from inside the bottle as the chairman lifts his monocle.
To Morningside Orphanage, New York. That's difficult to decipher. Well, I can't make it out.
The lovely lady mouse, Miss Bianca, steps forward.
I am in a terrible trouble. Oh dear, it's all watered out. Hurry, help, Penny.
Penny? Morningside Orphanage? Dash it all, it's not much to go on, is it?
Oh, that poor little girl. Oh, Mr. Chairman, please may I have this assignment?
Bernard gapes.
You? Miss Bianca? Dear lady, it's absolutely without precedent. I mean, it's not like the old days when it was a man's world. However, I suppose there has to be a first time.
Bernard raps on the glass.
Mr. Chairman, sir, I don't think Miss Bianca should go.
it could be dangerous. I mean, anything could happen to her.
Bianca smiles coyly.
You see, dear lady, before our janitor interrupted, I was about to suggest that you should have a co-agent go with you. Gentlemen, who will volunteer?
All the male delegates wave their hands eagerly.
Gentlemen, this is indeed a most difficult decision to make.
Bernard, meanwhile, is struggling to climb out of the bottle mouth.
I choose Mr. Bernard to be my co-agent.
Bernard falls back to the bottom.
Me? Oh, that's really very, No, see, I'm only a janitor.
Oh, come on. We'll be a great team together. Oh, come on.
Bravo, bravo.
As the delegates applaud him, Bernard looks out at them, a quizzical smile on his face.
A janitor, you lady? Good heavens. Bless myself.
Nighttime in a deserted, tree-filled city square. Old-fashioned street lamps cast pools of light over the empty streets as heavy rain falls. A city bus pulls up and a man jumps off, followed by the tiny figures of Bernard and Bianca in rain gear. They take shelter under a nearby postbox as the bus pulls away. Bianca holds up a lantern while Bernard frowns over a map.
Inside orphanage. Here it is. Three blocks down and, four blocks over.
Well, why don't we take the shortcut through the zoo?
Miss Bianca,
Bianca opens an umbrella.
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, it could be risky.
Oh, come on. Remember our pledge? Through storm and rain and dark of night.
Never fail to do what's right.
He takes off his yellow sou'wester.
All right.
Replacing the rain hat.
Duty calls.
He offers her his arm and leads her along the pavement, swinging the lantern in his free hand and whistling bravely. At length, they reach the wrought iron gates of the zoo and march under them into the darkness between the silhouetted cages. Glancing around him, Bernard's eyes grow wide with fright. He stops, clutching at his dry throat.
Mr. Bernard, maybe we better go back. It's so dark in there.
Bernard frowns.
Dark? Who's afraid of the dark? Look, you stay here. I'll check it out.
Leaving Bianca holding the umbrella, Bernard swaggers off into the maze of shadowy cages, holding the tiny lantern before him and disappears from view. Bianca, in pink scarf and lilac raincoat, looks after him with concern. Panicked, Bernard races towards the gates.
Wait for me!
Bernard returns to grasp her by the hand and pulls her off towards safety. Bianca drops the umbrella. Bernard dashes back to collect it. Glancing behind him, he trips and falls. Umbrella and lantern go flying. Bianca returns to help him. Hauling him up, she collects the umbrella while he picks up the lantern. They race out of the zoo, collapsing against a wall outside the gates.
How about trying three blocks down and four blocks over?
What did you do to make him so mad?
Bernard peers at her a little ashamed.
Nothing, he's just a grumpy old lion.
Well, after all, waking him up in the middle of the night. Wouldn't you be grumpy, too?
They set off down the pavement.
I didn't wake him up in the middle of the night. I was walking through the thing and I just...
In another street, a large, old, shingled house front. A flight of stairs leads up to an entrance of glazed double wooden doors below a semicircular window. A glow of light comes from within. Above the doorway in block letters, Morningside Orphanage. Climbing through an open window at the side, Bernard and Bianca clamber down a stack of footlockers to the floor of a shadowy room. Bernard holds up the lantern and peers about.
I'll take a look around, see what I can find.
Holding the lantern before him, Bernard crosses the floor to an open broom cupboard, on the floor of which a cardboard box stands open. On the box is written, "Pennies, hold until further notice."
Psst, psst.
Bianca turns to him.
Miss Bianca, over here. I found something. These are Penny's belongings.
Good work. Now we're getting somewhere.
Together, they climb into the box.
Oh, look. The little girl's treasures.
A bespectacled cat awakes.
What are the things kids collect?
And listens.
Do you think she could be still here in the orphanage?
Well, she can't be. It says on the box, hold until further notice.
Or maybe she's been adopted.
It peers into the box.
No, because she would have taken these things with her.
Mice!
Cat!
They jump into a shoe.
Now, looky here, you two. If folks find out that mice moved in here, I'll get kicked out. lose my job.
They climb out.
Don't worry, Mr. Cat. We won't be here long.
And jump down.
I'm a mite too old to be chasing mice.
Sir, could you tell us what happened to a little girl named Penny?
I sure can. You ain't going to find her around here. She, poor little thing, ran away.
When was the last time you saw Penny?
Was there anything unusual? Try to remember.
Let's see now. The last time I saw her, she was sitting over there on her bed, all alone. She looked awful sad. So I asked her, what's wrong, Penny, honey?
Nothing.
He jumps up on the bed.
Oh, come on now, come on. No secrets.
And rubs against her.
Tell old Rufus, huh?
Well, it was adoption day at the orphanage.
What happened?
A man and lady came and looked at me, but they chose the little red-headed girl.
His face wrinkles.
She was prettier than me.
Oh, she couldn't be. You listen to me, darling. You're something extra special.
She goes to the window.
No, I'm not.
Why, someday a mama and a papa will come to the orphanage looking for a pretty little girl just like you.
He joins her there.
Honest?
I'll bet my whiskers on it.
She smiles.
But you got to believe it. Keep the faith, sweetheart.
He rubs his head against hers.
You see that bluebird?
Yes, I do.
Well,
the bird preens on a limb.
Faith is a bluebird. You see from afar. It's for real and as sure as the first evening star. You can't touch it or buy it or wrap it up tight, but it's there just the same, making things turn out right.
She hugs him.
Can't touch it or buy it or wrap it up tight, but it's there just the same, making things turn out right.
She picks up the stuffed bear.
But whoever adopts me, I adopt Teddy too.
She holds him out to Rufus.
Oh, they love him. He doesn't eat much, does he?
She digs into a pocket.
Oh, here.
And pulls out some biscuits.
I brought you something.
Rufus licks them.
Rand of Goshen. Catnip snaps.
No, they're ginger snaps.
Rufus climbs to the floor stiffly.
Well, an old codger like me could use a little ginger.
He hops onto the bed.
I take 2 extra ones for lunch today. We're not supposed to do that.
Well, you can trust me. I won't tattletale on you.
She cuddles him.
I love you, Rufus.
Scratching his tummy with a free hand.
Gee, we better hurry or we'll be late for supper.
Grasping him to her chest like a parcel, she walks off. Now back in the present.
She seemed happy enough, but the next thing I heard, Penny was gone.
Well, aren't the police still looking for her?
No. They gave up weeks ago.
Oh, this is terrible, that poor little girl.
Bernard paces.
I just can't believe that Penny would run away. Mr. Rufus, please think. Now, there must be something else.
Well, think of it. There was. No, it's nothing. Penny wouldn't get in with her.
Get in what? With who?
Oh, a weird lady tried to give Penny a ride, but she wouldn't have anything to do with trashy people like them.
Trashy people? Who?
She and her partner run a sleazy pawn shop down the street.
Miss Bianca, we must go down there and investigate.
Suit yourself. You'd be wasting your time going down there.
They get ready to go.
She could be in real trouble. We gotta find her and help her.
Yeah, but 2 little mice. What can you do?
Bemused, Rufus watches them as they go. A shop front in a dark, wet street. Lights within cast a glow over the rain-wet pavement. A sign painted on the shop window, Medusa's Pawn Shop. At the side of the window, an entrance door. Bernard and Bianca appear. They squeeze under the door and enter the shop. Inside, in shadowy light, a wealth of second-hand oddments adorn the walls and shelves. Cautiously, they cross the floor and climb up to a cashier's counter at the back of the shop, behind a wire mesh partition. Stepping through an opening in the mesh, they move along the wainscoting beneath a cuckoo clock to an open wooden roll-top desk, its compartments crammed with papers. On the desk, an old-style cradle telephone and a book. The title on its cover, First Grade Reader. Bianca notices it and beckons.
Bernard, a child's book.
They open the book's cover, revealing the inscription, Penny's Morningside Orphanage.
It's Penny's.
Then she's got to be here.
They scarp her. The book's cover slams down on Bernard's tail. Jerking free, he lands in a heap.
What's so funny?
His tail is ruffled like a feather duster.
Your tail. Here, let me help you fix it.
Moistening her paw with saliva, she smooths it. Bernard jumps into a desk drawer and Bianca hides in a cubbyhole as a door opens and a blousy, heavily made-up woman with short red hair enters, wearing a sleeveless, backless red dress.
Who could be ringing at this time of night?
Madame Medusa's pawn shop boutique?
How, boss?
Snoofs! Don't tell me, Snoofs. Let me guess. You found it. You've found the diamond. Give you time. You bungler, you have been down there for 3 months. Bottles. What? Bottles. You caught Penny sending messages in bottles? You blundering fool! Can't you control a little girl? Shut up! I am taking the next flight down to Devil's Bayou.
Slamming down the phone, she throws a suitcase open upon the desk and strides off.
This is terrible. They've got to go with her.
Yeah, come on, in the suitcase.
Bernard hops into the case. Bianca is moving towards it as Medusa re-enters with an armload of clothes. Bianca hides again as the clothes are dumped on top of Bernard.
It fouls up everything. Leaving for a few weeks and...
Jamming clothes into the case, Medusa turns away to slip on her coat. Bernard reaches to pull Bianca into the case, but Medusa slams down the lid and sits on it.
Oh, why am I this stupid thing? Clothes!
Left outside the case, Bianca grabs a trailing garter belt and hangs on as Medusa lifts the case and strides out of the room. Bianca bounces on the elastic of the belt like a bungee jumper until she loses her grip and falls to the floor. Picking herself up, she races after them. In a back alley, Medusa opens the door of an open red touring car, throws the case in the back seat and gets in. Bianca hops in just as she slams the door. Driving like a maniac, Medusa races down dark, deserted city streets. Bianca opens a suitcase and jumps inside to join Bernard. Medusa overtakes a slow-moving truck.
Out of my way, you road hog!
Crashing through a roadworks barrier, she drives with gritted teeth along an excavated trench. As she swerves around a corner, the suitcase is thrown out onto the ground in a heap. Bernard and Bianca extricate themselves from the clothes as Medusa and the red car disappear in the distance. At the airport, Bernard and Bianca hurry towards the departure gates with their bags.
Hurry, Miss Bianca. Medusa could be down at the Devil's Bayou by now.
Oh, I'm sorry, but a lady does have to pack a few things, you know?
They reach an escalator. Bernard turns to take Bianca's bag. They hop on the moving treads and are swept upwards. At the top, on the building's roof, a heliport landing area with a passenger helicopter being boarded. Taking Bianca's hand, Bernard deftly avoids the footsteps of the approaching passengers and leads her forwards. Climbing over the helicopter struts, they move beyond it towards a small, rickety wooden shed, resting in a nest of straw atop a wooden box at the side of the rooftop. Above the shed, a crude, hand-printed sign surmounted by the image of a large white flying bird wearing a leather pilot's hat and goggles. The sign reads, Fly Albatross Air Service. Bernard leads Bianca up a wooden ramp to the door of the shed and they enter. Inside, a waiting room and check-in desk. There is no one there. Bernard places the suitcase on a weighing scale and glances up at a blackboard, upon which is printed the flight time for Devil's Bayou.
Flight, please, 6:45. Oh, no. We missed a flight.
A wall clock reads 7 o'clock.
Miss Bianca, if you hadn't...
Are you worried too much? You know that flights are always late.
Albatross, flight 13 to tower. Albatross 13.
Now, what did I tell you? We are lucky, Mr. Bernard.
Luck? Flight 13?
He takes the suitcase from the scale.
Maybe we'd better take the train.
Wake up! Dad Raddatz, somebody answer down there. Get off the dime. Hello? Hello? Is anybody down there?
Bernard hops up to the microphone.
Hello?
Where in Tuckett you been, you lazy knucklehead?
We just got here, sir. See, my co-agent insisted on packing her,
Look, bud, am I clear to land? Traffic up here is thicker than please.
A helicopter lifts off, blowing Bernard across the desk.
What did he say, Mr. Bernard?
I wouldn't dare repeat it.
But then give him the permission to land.
Bernard turns to the microphone.
Captain, you have our permission to land.
Well, it's about time, bud.
Look, there he is.
Bernard joins her at the window. A large white bird swoops towards
them.
Doesn't
he fly beautifully? And you wanted to take the train, you Freddy Cat.
Freddy Cat? I like trains. I mean, they serve Roquefort. Pull up!
Outside, the bird has dropped below the plank runway at the roof's edge. Now he reappears, floats over the plank, and drops awkwardly onto the roof, skidding to a halt in an undignified heap. Bernard and Bianca race outside and down the ramp to where the big bird sits on his bottom, removing his goggles, straightening his long scarf, and brushing the dust from his feathers.
Are you hurt, sir?
Nope. One of my better landings, bud.
Oh, great.
He takes Bianca's arm.
Come on, we're gonna take the train.
Frowning, the bird leans across to eavesdrop.
Train? Safe? Listen here, Buster. I'm as fit as a fiddle.
And you look simply wonderful, Captain.
She bats her lashes.
Shucks. Just call me Orville, little lady.
All right. It's most important we get to Devil's Bayou.
Orville pats his head.
You just keep your shirt on. Flight 13 hits the Wild Blue Yonder in 5 minutes.
Yep. He waddles off. Later, Bernard climbs portable stairs to Orville's back.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, no.
He turns to Bianca.
There are 13 steps on this ramp.
Why don't you jump the last one?
Gripping the rails, Bernard vaults over the last step.
This is your captain speaking. Welcome aboard, folks. Fasten your seat belts. No smoking. Just sit back and leave the driving to me.
They sit in a half-open sardine tin.
Miss Bianca, be sure it's fastened good and tight.
I can't. It'll wrinkle my dress.
Say, bud, read the checklist to me.
Goggles down.
Orville positions his goggles.
Check.
Wing flaps down.
Check.
Tail feathers.
He shakes them.
Double check.
Bernard reads on.
If at first you don't succeed, try again.
And blinks apprehensively.
And here we go!
Orville surges forward, flapping his great wings. Bernard and Bianca are thrown wildly about as Orville gallops lumberingly towards the ramp.
Sure wish we'd have taken the train.
For a moment, they're airborne. Then Orville settles heavily onto the roof again. Collecting himself, he races awkwardly up the ramp and steps off into space. Bernard closes his eyes as they plummet downwards towards a city street far below.
Oh, I just love takeoffs.
Bernard clutches his hat as they drop nearer to the ground, only to level off just above the gridlocked traffic in the street. Now in control, Orville soars over the vehicles, passing through a massive iron pipe, stacked with others on a lorry.
Captain, you fly beautifully. It's just like being on a roller coaster.
At a traffic light, the vehicles below them stop, but Orville soars on oblivious. Bernard frowns.
I just went through a red light.
Oh, I do that all the time, darling. Now, come on. Stop worrying.
She kisses him on the lips. His eyes grow wide as saucers and his face crinkles in a dazed grin. Orville now climbs, his great white wings beating gracefully. Passing over the tops of buildings, they glide on towards the harbour and the Statue of Liberty, with the open sea beyond. Bernard and Bianca peer from their sardine tin at the sights below.
Come along. Will there be sunshine shining? Will we find a silver lining? Come along, sing a song. When today becomes tomorrow, will we find joy or sorrow? Sing a song. Is it wrong?
They reach the coastline.
To put all our hopes together and wish for something better. Is it wrong?
And sweep along over it.
To face the future with another who means more than any other.
is to be lost.
They pass through a rain squall. Bernard opens an umbrella.
We'll paint the gray clouds with pretty rainbow hues. And we'll brush the gloom away and save it for a rainy day.
The rain stops and Bernard puts the umbrella away.
Rainy day, oh, today.
Leaving a rainbow behind them, they soar on into the sunset.
If troubles cast a shadow and shadows make the sun afraid to stay.
Lights twinkle from seaside towns.
It's okay. Cause there'll be sunshine shining and we'll find a silver lining another day.
Holding a torch, Bernard reads from a book.
Listen to this. It says here, Devil's Bayou is uncharted and hazardous. Each day's operations...
Interesting.
She snuggles against him.
Good night, dear.
Bernard looks nonplussed.
Planned with care and...
Shyly, he puts his arm around her shoulder and draws her close.
Tomorrow is another day.
Good night, Pian.
He leans his head against hers and they drift off to sleep. Orville's great wings carry them deeper into the cloudy night sky. In the Devil's Bayou, light from a full moon casts an eerie bluish gloom over the misty tree silhouettes and trailing Spanish moss and sparkles in a fairy trail across the water. At the water's edge, the ancient riverboat lies like a ghost ship in the shadows. No lights are showing. A door on the main deck opens and the tiny figure of Penny appears, wearing a blue pinafore dress and clutching her teddy bear, her hair in twin ponytails as before. Stealthily, she backs across the deck to a ramp and climbs down to the shore. Casting a wary glance behind her, she clutches Teddy in one arm and sets off into the swamp, ducking her head to avoid low-hanging vines. On the riverboat, lights suddenly come on.
Penny! Penny?
Panicked, Penny races onwards.
Penny, answer me! Penny!
She trips, falling into the water. Struggling to her feet, she pushes on into the trees. On the riverboat, Medusa appears in a long black cape, holding the two straining crocodiles on leads.
Snoops! Snoops, get down here!
What's up, Medusa? What's going on?
That little brat has escaped again! Nero, Brutus, bring her back, boys!
Cuddling the crocodile, she unleashes them and steps back. They waddle grimly down the ramp and slide into the swamp water. Now wearing a dark rain hat, Medusa tries to start a dilapidated-looking swamp mobile floating beside the riverboat. Snoops, a short, fat, curly-haired man in round glasses and a green suit, dashes down the stairs to join her.
Why won't it start? Snoops! What's wrong?
Well, what's wrong? I don't know. It was working good yesterday.
Oh, shut up! Send up flares! Light up the swamp so I can find her.
Grimacing wickedly, Medusa throws the swampmobile into gear and roars off over the water. Snoops dashes below to the boiler room, grabs a rocket from a stack of fireworks, places it in the open boiler and lights the fuse. The rocket shoots out of the boat's funnel and soars into the sky.
Well, folks, we'll be landing at Devil's Bayou in just a minute. Your crew thanks you for flying Albatross Air.
The rocket passes. And bursts. Bernard and Bianca clutch one another as Orville dodges fiery shrapnel, one piece of which ignites his tail feathers.
Saffron and sassafras! My rudder's on fire!
Bernard tries to beat out the flames.
Bail out!
Orville rolls upside down. The two mice plummet towards the earth. Bernard grabs Bianca, putting his arm around her. Head first, Orville falls past them.
Mayday! Mayday!
He spins away, his tail feathers smoking. Bernard opens his umbrella and smiles down at Bianca, who clutches him tightly. Below, a rickety cabin at the water's edge. A plump lady water rat opens the door and looks up.
Buffering catfish! What on earth? Luke! Luke, wake up!
A skinny rat with a large hat is asleep in a hammock. She jerks him to the floor.
Luke! Get down here!
Lifting a stone jug, he takes a long swig. The fiery liquor sets his eyes spinning.
Oh, that Orville.
No, Luke, no. He's in trouble. You get down here right now.
I'm a-coming.
Luke joins her at the water's edge, drinking from his jug. Orville swoops by and knocks him aside, landing as usual in an undignified heap. Dazed, Luke holds up the jug.
Wow-wee! This new batch really packs a wallop.
Orville extinguishes his tail feathers in the water.
Look out below!
Above them, Bernard and Bianca float down under the umbrella, which suddenly collapses, dropping them into the water. Bedraggled, Bianca crawls out from the crumpled umbrella.
What a shame! Here, honey, let me help you.
Ellie May, the lady water rat, helps Bianca away as Luke hauls up Bernard.
Say, cousin, you look like you could use a swig of this. It's good for what ails you.
He pours liquor down Bernard's throat.
Where are you folks from, anyway?
Blinking, Bernard recovers.
We're from New York.
Now stand back, folks. I ain't gonna hang around this creepy place long.
Clear the runway!
Adjusting his goggles, Orville flaps his wings and sets off in his awkward run towards the dock at the swamp edge and off the end into the water, where he pulls himself along with his wings to an almost upright position. He's nearly airborne when he sees Medusa coming towards him in the swamp-mobile.
Great balls of fire!
Reversing his course, Orville manages even greater speed, actually running over the water's surface as the swamp-mobile gets ever closer. Finally, it is just behind him, and he is sucked into the engine air intake. Emerging from the rear as a blackened, frazzled wreck.
Holy smoke! Why don't you watch where you're going?
Coughing out soot, Orville flies away over the swamp. Medusa and the swamp-mobile cruise along the bulrushes at the water's edge. As she passes, we see Penny's head silhouetted among the rushes, where she crouches in hiding. Drawing near to the rushes, Medusa switches on a powerful light and scans the shoreline, grim-faced. The light beam nearly catches Penny, but she hides herself just in time. Finally, Medusa extinguishes the light and roars away. Penny, clutching the teddy bear, races off through the swamp. Not far away, Nero and Brutus, the two crocodiles, slide through the water, also searching. Medusa eases the swamp-mobile in close to the shore, scanning the brush. Concealed in a clump of weed, Bernard and Bianca watch her.
Bernard, it's that terrible Medusa.
Beside them, Ellie May scowls.
I'd like to give her a few whacks with my rolling pin.
Luke nods.
We swamp folks would like to run her clean out of her bayou.
Hold it! Hold it! Somebody's coming this way.
The two crocodiles waddle out of the swamp. One carries in his mouth the teddy bear, the other carries Penny suspended by the straps of her pinafore dress. She scowls back at him.
Why did you have to go and spoil everything? Nero, don't you dare get my teddy bear wet.
The crocodiles carry their prisoners away.
Oh, get that poor little young un. She's trying to run away again.
It's Penny. Oh, how terrible.
Sliding into the water, the crocodiles swim off into the night.
Hurry! We've got to find out where they're taking her!
Drawing Bernard by the hand, she runs along the shoreline, coming to a halt at a rickety old dock. Ellie May joins
them. You need a boat! Even Ruth's got the fastest boat around here! Keep it round! Wake up! Start up the engine, boy!
Beside the dock, a boat made from a leaf with a dragonfly driver.
Bend even, Ruth, back as soon as you need help!
Bernard helps Bianca in.
I'll round up the neighbors!
Flapping his wings like propellers, the dragonfly drives the leaf through the water. Bernard and Bianca hold on tightly to the sides.
Faster! Avonrod, faster!
Frowning with effort, the little driver increases his speed. Ahead, Nero and Brutus glide through the water, submerging briefly to avoid a low tree limb.
You stop it, Brutus!
Hurrying after, Evinrud guides the leaf boat through an old hollow log. They emerge into a cloud of mist.
This fog is awful. You can't see a thing!
Blinded by the fog, Evinrud and his passengers sweep past the two crocodiles without seeing them.
Slow down, Evinrud!
The little boat slows to a stop in the dense fog.
They gotta be around here somewhere.
The scrawny, bug-eyed dragonfly pants with exhaustion, his long wings drooping.
Oh, dear! We've lost them!
Bernard peers into the mist behind them.
Jehoshaphat!
The crocodiles sweep by on either side.
Hang on! Hard and forth, Evinrud!
The little leaf is rocked by their wake.
Help! We're gone up!
Evinrud fights to control it. As they wallow in the monstrous waves, Bianca is thrown into the water and drifts away.
Help! Bernard!
Bianca!
Horrified, Bernard watches as Bianca is carried further away by the surging water. Frantically, he takes up a coil of rope. Slinging it around his head, he flings the end out over the water. It falls close to Bianca, who swims forward to grab it. Bernard hauls her back to the boat and pulls her in. They clasp one another in relief. Glancing behind them, Bernard sees the crocodile's tail sweeping towards them. The little boat is flooded again with water. When they recover, Bernard and Bianca find themselves near the old riverboat. Lights glow from its windows.
Come on, Evinrud, give it all you got.
Evinrud strains.
Keep trying, Evinrud.
He lies prostrate on the leaf stem, his tongue hanging out.
Poor Evinrud. You're caught
in, boys. Come on.
The crocs carry Penny inside.
So you tried to run away, huh? Well, it didn't work, did it, huh?
Brutus is holding Penny by the seat of her pants.
Put me down, Brutus.
He drops her. She glares up at him.
Little dragon.
Snoops pats Brutus.
Nice work. Good boys. Good boys. Steady boys. Down, boys. Heel.
Penny cuddles the bear.
There, Teddy. I won't let them do that to you again. Don't cry.
Now, Teddy. Poor Teddy. All she ever thinks about is that simple bear.
He moves to Penny.
Now, you behave or I'll let Nero and Brutus have your old teddy bear.
She frowns.
You will not. Besides, I'm not scared of him like you are, Mr. Snoops.
Ah, don't you sass me. Boys, take this naughty little girl to her room.
He pushes her to the foot of the stairs.
I can go by myself. Thank you.
Stamping a foot, she ascends. In the swamp, Medusa is still searching with a swampmobile. Suddenly, a rocket message blazes in the sky above her. Got girl. Swinging around, she heads for the riverboat. Nearby, Bernard helps Bianca onto the shore from the leaf
boat. Stick around, Evinrud. We'll signal if we need you.
Look out! Here she comes!
He pulls Bianca aside just as Medusa steers into the bank. The swampmobile bounces over their heads and down again, sliding eventually up the ramp, stopping on the deck of the riverboat and backfiring. Dismounting, Medusa goes inside.
Where is she?
Where is she? I sent her up to her room.
Why did you let her escape? What is your alibi this time, Nitwit?
Nitwit? Well, don't blame me, Medusa. Those leather-headed lizards of yours, they're supposed to be patrolling the island. They let her get away.
He pulls off her boot. She throws it aside.
Ha!
Turns to the crocodiles.
My precious pets.
And cuddles them.
We know who caught that ungrateful little brat, don't we?
Well, it was your brilliant idea to use little girl for this caper. If you left it to me,
Bernard and Bianca sneak down a funnel and once inside hide under a chest of drawers.
The only one small enough to squeeze down the black hole.
Yes, but why can't she find my big diamond?
I don't know, but just look at these beauties that she brought up from the cave. Oh, they'll sell for a lot of cold cash.
She knocks them to the floor.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't do that.
Bianca to Bernard.
She's insane. Utterly mad.
I want that diamond. I've got to have the devil's eye.
She waves a walking stick.
You didn't leave the girl down in the cave long enough.
She won't take orders.
Medusa leans towards
you
him.
You are too soft.
But the water was rising and the tide was coming in and all she did down there was fuss about her teddy bear getting wet.
Snoops, you don't have a way with children. You must gain their confidence, make them like you.
She cuddles the crocs.
Yeah? How do you do that?
She swings.
You force them to like you, idiot! At the next low tide, I'm going to put her down there myself and keep her there until she finds it, and it is as simple as that.
Oh, it's as simple as that, is it? Well, you're the boss. Boss.
Yes.
She starts off.
Oh, come along, Petsy Poo.
Swinging her hips tardily.
We gotta get Penny out of here tonight.
Frowning, Bernard steps from the shelter of the chest of drawers, then leaps back as the two crocodiles slink past them on their way upstairs. Suddenly, one of the crocs stops to sniff the air.
Oh, Bianca. They smell your perfume.
Oh, dear.
Now both crocodiles smell her scent. Frowning, they retrace their steps. At At the chest of drawers, one of them pokes his great nose underneath, driving Bernard and Bianca back up against the wall. Swinging the umbrella, Bernard tries to fend him off, but is grabbed by his jumper and pulled out. Dangling from the crocodile's mouth, Bernard hits him on the snout and is dropped. He dashes away, climbing up a long curtain. The crocs tear it down and it falls over them all. All three thrash about beneath it.
Oh, no!
Bianca!
Bianca dives under.
Let go, you big bully, you!
She drags Bernard out by his tail. Shaking his head, Bernard leaps to his feet and pulls Bianca across the floor to a great pipe organ. Seconds later, they peer out from a sound hole in one of the pipes above. They pull back suddenly as one of the crocodiles places a big yellow eye to the hole, looking in. He withdraws. Bernard and Bianca look relieved. Now one crocodile plays the organ, blowing the tiny mice out of the top of the pipe. The second crocodile dashes upstairs to snap at them as they fall to safety again inside the pipe. The two crocs work together, trying all the pipes to find the hiding mice. Bernard is blown again into the air above the pipe and floats there in the updraft, running uselessly in place. The second croc snaps at him again and misses. Bernard drops back into the pipe. The crocs try again. Bernard and Bianca are blown like feathers up and down the pipe and finally out of the end of the pipe again. The croc snaps at them again and misses. They land in separate pipes. Avoiding the snapping jaws, Bernard swings across the outside of the pipe towards Bianca. She pulls him back inside just as the crocodile lunges again. Angry now, the crocodiles try their best to dislodge the mice, but each time they fly into the air, they drop to safety before the crocodiles can grab them. In her room, Medusa sits examining a treasure map. Frowning, she gets up and storms downstairs. At the organ, Nero plays a heavy chord. Bernard flies out of the pipe like a cannonball, dropping right into Brutus's mouth. Bianca looks on horrified.
Brutus! Nero, stop that inferno racket! I mean now!
She hits Brutus with her stick and Bernard drops out of his mouth.
No! Snoops! Snoops a mouse! Oh, kill it! Kill it!
She leaps on a chair. Snoops chases Bernard with a broom, knocking Medusa off her chair as he does so. Bernard grabs Bianca's hand and together they race across the floor, avoiding the two crocodiles and Snoops with his broom. Swinging at them, Snoops flattens one of the crocodiles, then pursues the two mice, stamping his feet. Medusa fires at them with a rifle. Everyone takes cover as she blasts away wildly in all directions. Finally, the rifle jams. She examines it angrily.
What is wrong with this thing?
The others peer out cautiously from behind the furniture. Tiptoeing, Bernard leads Bianca towards an open window.
Snoops! What's wrong?
The last shot parts Snoop's hair. The mice have made their escape into the water. Alarmed, Evinrude steers the leaf toward the riverboat. Struggling to hold Bianca afloat, Bernard calls out to him.
Evinrude, over here!
Evinrude maneuvers the leaf close beside them. Bernard climbs in and helps Bianca in after him.
Are you all right, dear?
Why, she tried to kill us, that terrible woman. Oh, if I was only a 10-foot mouse, I'd show her.
Bernard wrings out his flat cap dejectedly.
It's no use, Bianca. Maybe Rufus the cat was right.
And slaps it on his head.
What can two little mice do?
Gravely, Bianca sits beside him.
But Bernard, the society is counting on us. We can't quit now.
She takes his hand.
Oh, that little girl. You've just got to rescue her.
In her tiny room at the top of the old riverboat, Penny slips on a long nightgown by candlelight. In her own room, Medusa removes her garish makeup.
Penny, dear! Auntie Medusa wants to talk to you.
In Medusa's room.
High tide or not, that little brat is going to find me that diamond tomorrow or else. Come in.
Did you want to see me, ma'am?
Carrying Teddy.
Yes, my dear, don't be so shy.
Penny steps in.
Now, I am going to let bygones be bygones. You know what would make Auntie Medusa very happy?
Yes, you want me to find that diamond.
That's right, dear.
I've tried hard as I could. Honest.
Of course, you have. But we must try harder, mustn't we?
Penny cuddles her bear.
And please, will you take me back to the orphanage, like you promised?
Penny, don't you like it here? A big, beautiful boat all to yourself.
Well, if I don't get back to the orphanage, I'll never get adopted.
Adopted? What makes you think anyone would want a homely little girl like you?
Medusa turns back to her vanity mirror. Penny, her eyes brimming with tears, hugs her teddy. Disconsolately, she leaves Medusa's room. In the gloomy darkness, the tiny figure slowly climbs the stairs and steps out onto the deck under the night sky. Moving across to the railing, she leans against it, gazing sadly out over the water. Her tears drop into the water below.
Be brave, little one. Make a wish for each sad little tear. Hold your head up, though no one is near. Someone's waiting for you.
Under twinkling stars, a deer and baby fawn graze at the water's edge.
Don't cry, little one. There'll be a smile where a frown used to be. You'll be part of the love that you see. Someone's waiting for you.
On a tree limb, a mother bluebird settles down over her babies lovingly.
Keep a little prayer in your pocket, and you're sure to see the light.
Below her, Bernard rows the leaf up to a trailing rope.
Soon there'll be joy and happiness, and your little world will be bright.
Penny smiles up at a pulsing star.
Have faith, little one.
Wiping her tears.
Till your hopes and your wishes come true.
Bernard and Bianca look up at her.
You must try to be brave, little one.
As she moves sadly back to her room.
Someone's waiting.
Hugging her teddy. Bernard and Bianca climb up the rope towards Penny's room. The little girl puts a long nightcap on Teddy's head, hugs him close, and then tucks him into her bed and blows out her candle.
Good night, Daddy. Sleep tight. Oh, we almost forgot to say our prayers.
Outside her window, Bernard and Bianca look on as she kneels by the bed.
Please bless Rufus and Teddy and all the kids at the orphanage. Jennifer, Bobby, Mary, Julie. And please let someone find my bottle. There's a message in it. Because running away isn't working. Amen.
She cuddles the bear again.
Don't worry, Daddy. We'll be all right.
She leans forward on the bed, sobbing. Bernard and Bianca appear on her pillow. Sliding down it, Bianca touches her on the hand.
Penny. Penny.
Penny looks up tearfully. Bernard joins Bianca.
Yes?
Penny. Penny, dinner, don't cry. We are here to help you.
Hi. Where'd you come from?
We found the bottle with your message, and we've come to rescue you.
Did you hear that, Teddy? Our bottle worked.
She looks down at them.
Didn't you bring somebody big with you? Like the police?
No, they're just the two of us.
But if the three of us work together, and we have a little faith...
That's what Rufus said. Faith makes things turn out right.
Penny, I know it's late, but we have to escape tonight. Right now.
But I just got caught by Brutus and Nero. Look what they did to my pants.
She shows them a tear.
Yeah, and they're still down there guarding the gangplank.
Oh, those vicious monsters. They ought to be locked up in a cage.
Penny brightens.
I know. Come on, I'll show you.
She leads them outside and points down.
There, the elevator.
Oh, it's a perfect cage, Penny.
Bernard checks out the wrought iron elevator cage on the deck below.
Great idea.
Bianca and Penny join him.
Now, what can we use for bait?
Oh, they'll eat anything.
Bernard gulps.
Yeah, I know.
I've got it. My perfume, remember? They follow the scent right into the elevator.
and I'll slam the door. And will that make Medusa mad?
She picks up a broom.
Brutus! Nero, did you let that little brat escape again? You're too soft.
Penny imitates Medusa.
Whap, whap.
Hey, Penny, that's not bad.
That's exactly like Medusa.
Penny glowers at the imaginary crocs.
Back her down, boys. Bring her back.
And we'll be so far ahead, they'll never catch us.
Wait a minute. She might catch us in her swamp mobile.
We'll swipe it. I've always wanted to drive it.
Penny minds driving.
What if Medusa wakes up while we're starting it? We're in trouble. We've got to stall him somehow.
Penny bends down to
them. How about Mr. Snoop's fireworks? We'll shoot him off in her bedroom. That'll keep her busy.
Oh, Bernard, it's so exciting. Perfume, crocs, swamp mobiles. It just got to work.
She grabs his arm.
It's our only chance. But we're going to need help.
Noobs, get down here!
Terrified, the mice clutch one another.
Well, what's up, Medusa? Well, what's going on?
Snoops rushes past them down the stairs. They watch him go.
Shut up!
High tide or not, then?
I bet those two are up to something.
Penny frowns.
Gee, I don't want to go down that awful black hole again.
Don't worry about that, dear. You must hurry and get dressed.
Come on, we haven't got much time.
He calls from the railing.
Evinrude? Up here.
Evinrude flies up from the boat.
We need help. Go get Ellie Mae. And hurry.
Frowning determinedly, the little dragonfly sets off through the dark swamp, darting through the moss-strewn trees. Hanging upside down from the tree limbs, a cluster of sleeping bats wakes up and gives chase. Looking back, Evinrude sees them and speeds up. Closer and closer they come. Evinrude only barely manages to keep ahead of them. He dodges and weaves to avoid their hungry mouths. Diving down, he flies into a spider's web and is flung backwards, leaving the spider angrily shaking his fist. In desperation, Evinrude darts inside a bottle at the water's edge. He cowers safe inside as the bats flit around him. Nearby at Ellie Mae and Luke's shack, a crowd of little animals has gathered. Ellie Mae shakes her rolling pin.
Are you ready to help rescue that little young'un?
Sure enough.
Luke is asleep in a rocking chair, holding his jug.
Luke! On your feet, you lazy critter!
Shucks, Ellie Mae. I was just waiting for someone to holler charge.
An old tortoise.
Dagnabbit! Let's get out to Joan and get it going.
A long-eared rabbit.
When old Gramps gets head up, his nose gets plumb out of joint.
Take it easy, Gramps. We gotta stay here till Evinrude brings us word from them mice.
If Annette Bug don't get here soon, they'll put that poor little girl down the black hole again.
In morning light, Snoops leads Penny with her teddy bear up a pile of stones to a dark hole by an old tree.
All right, you little brats. Now you are gonna go down in that hole, and you are gonna dig till you find me the diamond, you understand that? And no sassing me.
Medusa.
Oh, Snoops, that is no way to speak to our little Miss Penny.
She cuddles her.
Oh, okay, boss, okay.
Now, my dear, you're going to find the big shiny diamond for your Auntie Medusa, aren't you?
Penny looks down the hole.
Teddy doesn't like it down there. He's afraid, aren't you, Teddy?
Aw, poor Teddy.
She grabs him.
I'll just keep him up here with me where he'll be safe.
Give me back my teddy bear. He's mine.
Medusa kicks her towards the hole. Penny nearly falls in. Peering from her pocket, Bernard looks down and cowers.
You get down there and find the big diamond or you will never see that teddy again.
Horrified, Penny nods.
All right.
Climbing into a bucket.
I'll go.
She grasps the rope.
You really got away with kids.
And is let down into the dark hole.
Don't worry, Kate. I won't be gone long. I'll find her old diamond.
A lantern hangs from the rope. As she descends, Bernard and Bianca peer out from the pocket of her pinafore dress at the damp gloom around them. When they reach the bottom, they step out onto the cavern floor. Penny holds out the lantern.
Oh, what a dreadful, frightening place.
Yeah, it used to be a pirate's cave.
How do you know that, Penny?
Penny points.
Ian! Oh, dear!
A pirate skeleton grins at them.
Come on, girls, let's look for that diamond so we can get out of here.
Oh, I've looked there already. Medusa does not those little ones.
Surrounded by nugget-like jewels, Bernard glances about nervously as the ground begins to shake.
What's that?
Across the cavern floor, an open pit drops down into darkness.
That's where the water comes in. I'm afraid to go over there.
Well, if I was a pirate, that's just where I'd hide the devil's eye. I'll go over and check it out.
Bravely, Bernard, in his flat cap and jumper, strides towards the pit. Penny holds the lantern high. At the lip of the pit, he peers down. And blanches with fear, backing away.
Come to think of it, if I was a pirate, I wouldn't hide anything back there.
Bernard, look! I can see something.
She points beyond the pit.
Come on. Let's see what it is.
No, Bianca, you stay here. I'll see if I can find a safe way over.
Bernard climbs around the edge of the pit, picking his way over slick rocks. Bianca looks worried. Suddenly, water shoots up from below. Bianca darts forward.
Bianca! Hang on!
Bernard is clinging by his fingertips.
Oh, I'm coming!
Grabbing his hands, Bianca pulls him to safety. Penny looks on, alarmed.
What are you doing down there?
I'm looking!
Well, look faster!
Now on the other side of the pit, Bernard leads Bianca forward into the darkness, passing under the blade of an old cutlass. Penny holds the lantern up behind them. As Bianca stops to look at something, Bernard presses ahead. Sliding down a shadowy object, he pauses to scratch his head. Penny lifts her lantern higher, revealing the object to be a grinning skull. Bright beams of reflected light stream out from its eyes and mouth. Bernard staggers back, blinking.
Wow!
The reflected light from the skull is thrown all around the cavern, spattering even Penny with blotches of color.
Penny, hold your lantern up again.
He climbs the skull and peers through an eye socket, inside a massive diamond.
Holy mackerel, that's it!
It's the devil's eye! Penny, they found it! They found it!
Penny calls up the shaft.
Medusa! I found it!
Have me luck, Medusa. Back.
Oh, good girl, let's get it up here!
Crawling inside the skull, Bernard and Bianca strain to maneuver the huge diamond towards an eye socket, Bernard pushing while Bianca pulls. Holding the lantern, Penny looks on anxiously from the other side of the pit. Suddenly, water gushes up again from the pit mouth, flooding the cavern floor and filling the skull. Chest high in water, Bernard pushes the diamond up towards Bianca at the eye socket.
Look. Look through. We can't get it out.
What's taking so long?
It's stuck tight.
Stuck tight? You get that diamond or you'll never see daylight again.
Clutching the lantern, Penny edges around the side of the pit.
No, but back, Penny.
Oh, Penny, you fall.
Penny slips. But a surge from the pit washes her up on the floor beside the two mice, who are being swirled around within the skull underwater. Finally, the water drains away and they struggle to their feet, bedraggled. Penny bends down to peer in at them.
Forget the diamond. Let's get out of here before we drown.
Penny tugs at the skull. Another surge of water nearly drags her down the pit. Frightened, she calls back towards the shaft.
The water's coming in. Please pull me up.
Not until you get the diamond.
Bernard in the skull.
Penny, the pirate sword. Use the sword.
Grabbing up the old cutlass, Penny places the blade in the skull's mouth and tries to lever it open. Bernard and Bianca, up to their knees in water, push the huge diamond toward the skull's mouth. With a massive effort, Penny prizes open the skull and the diamond shoots out onto the cabin floor. Penny scrambles to grab it just as another surge of water shoots up from the pit, washing her off her feet. Thrown hither and thither by the swirling water, Penny struggles to keep afloat while clutching the diamond. Finally, a wave washes her up on solid ground.
Penny, help!
A whirlpool draws Bernard and Bianca towards the pit mouth. Penny leaps forward to save them, but the vortex sucks them all down out of sight. Another surge washes them all back up into the cavern towards the rope. Reaching out, Penny grabs it.
I've got it!
They scramble into the bucket. Snoops and Medusa haul the bucket upwards.
Come on, as fast as I can.
When the bucket appears, Medusa snatches the diamond.
At last! The devil's eye! At last!
Snoops hops excitedly beside her.
It's worth millions!
Medusa gloats over the glittering gem.
Look at it, filled with power for its owner.
Let me look at it.
Medusa only allows him a peek at the diamond.
Hey, that wasn't a very good look.
He grabs for it.
But I know that there's enough there to cut it into two equal shares.
She kicks
him. You idiot! Cut up a perfect gem and it's mine. It's all mine.
They move off.
It's all yours. My half of it is mine, you double-crossing crook.
Put me down, Rhodas.
Clutching Penny by her dress, the crocodiles follow.
Double-crosser.
Cheap pickpocket.
Elsewhere in the swamp, Evinrud cautiously climbs up the inside of the bottle and peeks out. In the deep shadows of the trees, slanted red bat eyes watches every move. Evinrud turns around. A little way away is Luke and Ellie Mae's cabin. Plucking up his courage, he flies off toward it, the bats in hot pursuit. Again, he just manages to keep ahead of their gaping mouths, but he begins to tire. To escape, Evinrud flies down the narrow cabin chimney, appearing at the door of the unlit wood stove. In a spray of soot, he slams the stove door shut behind him and slumps against it. Ellie Mae and the others crowd round him.
Land sakes! It's Evinrud!
Oh, well, sure is a mess.
Where in tarnation you been, boy?
What's happening?
Do they want us now?
Where are they?
They're on the boat.
Well, speak up, boy.
An owl shakes him.
Buck up! We mustn't be quitting now, must we?
Evinrud collapses. Ellie Mae steps forward.
Stand back! Give poor Evinrud some air.
She cradles
him. He's plumb tuckered out.
Luke lifts his jug.
This'll make a new bug out of you.
And puts a drop in his mouth. His eyes bulging and belching smoke, Evinrud flies out of the cabin door. The others follow down the rickety porch steps and off to the swamp. A gopher in a miner's hat pauses at the bottom of the steps.
We're going to have us a rip, snort, and fight.
And burrows underground. Luke takes a swig from his jug. Grabbing a hayfork, he tears off after them. Ahead of him, the gopher surfaces.
Where'd everybody go?
Luke steps on him as he races past. With Ellie Mae in the lead, the rescuers jump into the swamp water. They wade off, holding improvised weapons above their heads. The gopher burrows beneath the water after them. The old tortoise is floating on his back. Evinrud arrives to power him along like the leaf boat. On dry land again, the party winds through the trees, the old tortoise hobbling along on his stick at the rear. The rabbit casts with his fishing rod, catching the tortoise by his shell and hoisting him into the air.
I don't need any help from anybody.
Slinging the rod over his shoulder, the rabbit carries the dangling tortoise behind him. They arrive at the riverboat ramp and surge up it, the gopher popping up from the ground in time to join them. In a room above, Medusa, holding the teddy, points a rifle at Penny and Snoops.
Well, sure, Swindler. Chisler!
Shut up, Snoops, and don't move. If either of you try to follow me, you'll get blasted!
You give me my teddy bear. You promised.
Bernard is at the door.
Teddy goes with me, my dear. I've become quite attached to him.
He slings a tripwire. Medusa backs into it. The teddy with a diamond sewn inside lands on the deck.
My diamond! My diamond!
Snoops grabs for it, but Medusa trips him up. Penny snatches the teddy and runs off. Snoops chases her, but Medusa hauls him back and races past. Snoops tackles her. The little animal rescuers attack Medusa with their weapons. They flee when she fires her rifle at them. Around a corner, the crocodiles block their path. The crocs chase after them, passing the lift where Bernard and Bianca hang suspended on a fishhook. The crocodiles stop. Bernard and Bianca smile and wave at them. Hungrily, the crocodiles rush toward the lift.
Now!
On the lift roof, the rabbit holds his fishing rod.
Now!
He jerks them up just as the crocs enter the lift. The doors slam, locking them in. Penny tries to start the swamp mobile.
Look out!
Medusa fires down at her. Ellie Mae bashes Medusa with a rolling pin. Medusa raises her rifle. The owl stuffs a firework into its barrel. Medusa is knocked down.
Oh, please start.
Bernard and the gopher work on the engine.
Advance the spark! Not the horn, the spark lever. Digger, hold this.
Digger takes the ignition wire.
It's that doohickey on the steering wheel.
Bianca pushes a lever and Penny tries again, sending current arcing through Digger. Below decks, the rabbit and the owl light fireworks. Medusa and Snoops dance about the deck trying to avoid them.
You! You! And your infernal fireworks! You dare to head!
The swampmobile still won't start.
We're not getting any gas!
Ellie Mae appears.
Fill her up, Luke!
He fills the tank from his jug.
All of it!
The engine starts and Penny races off. Medusa grabs a rope training behind the swampmobile and pulls herself up to it. Ellie Mae hits her with the rolling pin. Medusa slips back to the end of the rope, holding it fast. As Penny drives the speeding swampmobile, Medusa struggles upright, skimming over the water, sometimes on her feet, sometimes on her head, sometimes on her bottom. Behind them, the old riverboat explodes, sending the lift cage and the two crocodiles flying high into the air. Clutching one another, they land in the water in front of the swampmobile. They duck as it passes over, surfacing in time for Medusa. Turning evilly, she lashes them with a rope end.
Look out! The riverboat!
Penny turns hard to the right. Medusa's rope breaks and she and the crocodile skim straight towards the riverboat wreckage. They hit the boat ramp like a ski jump and sail into the air, Medusa crashing into a funnel protruding from the water. Snoops, his clothes in tatters, laughs back at her from a raft as the rescuers celebrate.
We did it, Bianca!
Hooray! Oh, Bernard, Bernard, you're wonderful!
As Penny heads for the open sea, the little rescuers dance with joy. Medusa still clings to the funnel.
There goes my diamond!
She scrambles higher up as the two crocodiles snap at her ankles from the water below. The scene fades.
And because of a courageous little girl named Penny, the world's largest diamond, the Devil's Eye, is now in the Smithsonian Institute. But what's even more important, folks, this little orphan's dream has come true. Today, she's being adopted. And here she is with her new mother and father.
At the Rescue Aid Society, the delegates watch Penny on television. She stands outside the orphanage with her new parents, the other orphans, and Rufus. Bianca turns to Bernard.
Bernard, I am so happy for Penny.
Yes, you might say that Penny brought us together.
You are a darling.
Penny, you were a brave little girl to do what you did all by yourself.
Oh, I didn't do it all by myself. Two little mice from the Rescue Aid Society helped me.
Mice? Rescue Aid Society?
Yes, they rescued me. Could I say hello to them? Hello, Bianca.
She waves at the camera.
Hi, Bernard.
They wave back.
You can talk to these little mice?
All the time. Mice can talk like anybody. Didn't you know that?
Well, I didn't. But I do now, Penny.
As the delegates applaud, Evan Rude flies into the trunk and hovers above the television, holding a rolled note in his hand.
Evan Rude! What are you doing here?
Exhausted, Evan Rude drops at their feet. Bernard unrolls the note and he and Bianca read it.
It's another call for help.
To the chairman.
You're going to need some volunteers.
Bianca raises his hand.
But Bianca, we just...
Oh, Bernard. Adventure, thrills, intrigue, travel, exotic places. Oh, come on, darling, let's go.
On the wall, a calendar reads Friday the 13th. In swirling snow, Bernard and Bianca sit in the sardine tin on Orville's back with Evan Rude between them. Orville lumbers across the snow-covered roof of the New York heliport.
Sure wish we'd have taken the train.
Orville lifts into the air, but the wind drives him backwards. His eyes wide with fright, Evan Rude jumps out as they are swept off the roof edge and down toward the street far below. Flying down, Evan Rude tries to stop Orville's freefall by pushing upwards on his rear end, then hauling on his tail feathers. As Orville levels out, Evan Rude drops exhausted onto the seat between Bernard and Bianca, who snuggle together under the falling snow, cuddling the little dragonfly between them.
Tomorrow is another day.
Gracefully dipping his great white wings, Orville flies on through the swirling snowflakes.
How I hope you'll always stay.
They pass through the snowstorm and soar peacefully onwards into an orange-tinted sky.
Tomorrow is another day.
The end.
The audio description was written by William Roberts. It was read by Carol Ann Lime and recorded by John Wakeham. The audio description for this film was produced by the RNIB Home Video Service. The Rescuers was a Walt Disney production. Story by Larry Clemens, Ken Anderson, Vance Gerry, Ted Berman, Bernie Mattinson, Frank Thomas, David Michener, Fred Luckey, and Dick Sebast. Directing animators were Ollie Johnston, Frank Thomas, Milt Call, and Don Bluth. Character animation by John Pomeroy, Andy Gaskell, Art Stevens, Chuck Harvey, Bob McCrae, Cliff Nordberg, Gary Goldman, Dale Baer, Ron Clements, Bill Hagi, and Glenn Keane. Effects animation by Jack Buckley, Doris A. Lanfer, Ted Kiersey, James L. George, and Dick Lucas. Key assistant animators Stan Green, Chuck Williams, Walt Stanchfield, Dale Oliver, Harry Hester, Dave Suding, and Leroy Cross. Assistant directors Jeff Patch and Richard Rich. Art director Don Griffith. Layout Joe Hale, Tom Lay, Guy Deeing, Al Dempster. Background painting Jim Coleman, Ann Gunther, and Daniela Bielica. Titles Melvin Shaw, Eric Larson, and Bernie Mattinson. Sound editors Herb Taylor, James Melton, and Jim Coford. Music editor Evelyn Kennedy. Songs The Journey and Rescue Aid Society by Carol Connors. Tomorrow is Another Day by Anne Robbins. Someone's Waiting for You by Sammy Fain, Carol Connors, and Anne Robbins. Sung by Shelby Flint. The U.S. Air Force by Robert Crawford. Copyright 1977 by Walt Disney Productions. All rights reserved.